Second point about this romantic group culture shared by Westernizers and Slavophiles alike is both shared a sort of romantic style, a romantic temperament. Partly this meant not to ever be jaded and aloof, not to be sort of cool and aristocratic like many ordinary upper-class youths in Russia. On the contrary, you were expected to be passionate, emotional, enthusiastic, dreamy even. And you could get excited about a lot of different things, though preferably the more the better. Poetry. You should be excited about poetry, especially if it was highly sentimental. Nature, especially if it was wild and unkempt. Friendship, especially if it was deep and intense and lifelong. And romantic love, with the emphasis on the personal bonds between people. And of course, all these things were said to be expressions of the great absolute, of the greater unity and higher meaning of all things which you could connect to with your soul. Most of all, of course, these young men, and they were at this point mostly men, or indeed all men, were fervent about, passionate about ideas. And the more abstract the ideas, the better. They would stay up, in fact, all night arguing about philosophical questions, and these arguments could be extremely serious and be taken very personally. For example, as Herzen, again, who remembers these years so brilliantly in his own memoir, describes these times, he said, "People who adored each other became estranged for entire weeks because they could not agree on the definition of transcendental spirit or were offended by opinions about absolute personality." In 1836, into this really intense, indeed overheated, emotional and intellectual milieu, entered an astonishing little essay. It had a rather unassuming title. It was called The First Philosophical Letter, written by a man named Pyotr Chedayev, who lived from 1794 to 1856. It was written several years earlier, and existed to some only in manuscript, but really only became known when it was published in 1836 in a Moscow journal by a mistake of the censor, who wasn't reading very closely and didn't understand what it said, for which, by the way, he was fired. It is hard to exaggerate how excited people were and how angry some were when this essay appeared, this letter. Herzen himself recalled that it was like a gunshot in the dead of night. Just stood up starkly after reading it. And he couldn't control his own excitement when he read it and then talked to others about it. Partly this excitement was a response to Chedayev's tone and style. And in this romantic age, style is something these young men were very sensitive to. It was full of bitterness and pain, despair even. Nobody before, at least not in print, had so passionately voiced the anguish about the world around them that many of these emerging intelligentsia felt. Most important, of course, was what Chedayev said. He addressed the question of questions, if you're a romantic. What is Russia's historical nature, and what is its destiny as a nation? And he offered a rather daring and troubling explication of the emptiness of Russia's national culture from a philosophical, romantic point of view. Here's his words. "We Russians have come into the world like illegitimate children, without a heritage of our own, without any ties binding us to the men who came before us on this earth. Unlike normal civilizations, which were supposed to develop naturally over time, organically, Russia was like," he said, "time's orphan. We are placed," he said, "as it were, outside of time. We move so oddly in time that as we advance, the immediate past is irretrievably lost to us. This is a natural consequence of a culture that is wholly importative and imitative." You can hear what he's talking about. "There's no internal development, no natural progress in our society. New ideas sweep out old ideas because they're not derived from the old, but come from God knows where." For Chedayev, though, Russia's rather unique position on the boundaries of Asia and Europe gave it something unique. Russians, especially romantic Russians, are always looking for the unique genius of a nation. It gave Russia a unique possibility in the world. As he put it, "Placed between the two great divisions of the world, between the East and the West, Europe and Asia, resting one elbow on China and the other on Germany, we ought to combine in ourselves the two great principles of human intelligence, imagination and reason, and fuse in our civilization the history of all parts of the globe. Something, remember, Dostoevsky talked about finding in Pushkin. But he said it's not there.